Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello, what a beautiful Friday, and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. I'm joined, as always, my G. Hey, Wiley G. How are you doing on this beautiful Friday?
Well, it's Friday. Rangers won last night. I couldn't be happier. Could not be happier. And on top of it, we have Duarte here, Michael Duarte here on the show every Friday. So I'm super psyched because we didn't have you last week, Michael. So I'm pumped.
We are going to kind of skip the headlines because there wasn't a ton going on. It was maybe the quietest day in local sports in the sense of no Dodgers. We will touch on Shohei Ohtani and how I need to go see this guy. I mean, every time he goes for the mound, it's like, first time since Babe Ruth. And so, but yeah, no Kings last night. We got the Kings game 3 in Los Angeles tonight. But Michael Duarte, how are you doing on this Friday?
Oh, I don't know if you can hear it from the sound of my voice, but I'm sicker than a dog right now. I've been dealing with a fever that has pierced me like a knife. And yeah, I just found out today, actually, before we recorded, that I tested positive for COVID-19. So everybody go out there and get vaccinated and boosted. I'm vaccinated and boosted. It still has knocked me on my behind. So yeah, this is no joke. Serious
Wait,
stuff.
So, Michael, I mean, is this the first time that you know of that you've had COVID?
Yeah, I definitely know that I never had it in the previous 2+ years because I had, as you know, Arash, I was dating a doctor and she had these like antibody tests that we could always take. I had like 50 of them. Yeah. So I would take them periodically. And what it did was it would go check to see if you had the antibody. So even if I had gotten it and not known about it, the antibody test would have told me if I had them. So yeah, I'd never gotten it previously, had come into contact with people who tested positive and would be like, the contact tracing, and I'd go get tested and I'd wait patiently to see if any symptoms come. And no, never got it. But, and I'm not sure how I got it this time, but I got it. It got me, and it's no joke.
No, no doubt about it. And, you've been very cautious this entire time. You said you were dating a doctor, but, you really lived your life in terms of, you were in Texas for the duration of the postseason when it was there. You've been covering stuff from the Super Bowl to, you name it. So, but listen, you look good, Michael Duarte. You don't sound good at the moment, but we appreciate you being on the show today. And I'm sure by the time you're back on next week, you'll sound fantastic. Listen, before, you got COVID, you were covering the Dodgers-Giants series. Again, only a 2-game series, but the first two of, I believe, 19 games that they're going to play this season. Michael, your thoughts on how the Dodgers have done this season. But, I think the expectation is once again, we are going to see Dodgers, Giants, perhaps even the Padres battling for the division. Your thoughts on the 2-game series that they had here?
Yeah, you're correct, Arash. It is 19 games this year. That number might change in the coming seasons now, as they're going to be kind of a more of a fuller schedule. I think they're going to be taking away some of those division games and then opening up more international games as far as interleague games. But the Los Angeles Dodgers did do a good job in their first two games against the Giants. They squeaked out a close one, a 2-run game, 3-1 on Tuesday, and then they beat the brakes off of them 9-1 last night. And that 9-1 victory was big for a couple of reasons. One, it put them as the number one team in all of baseball in run differential. They're now plus 57 on the season, which passed the New York Yankees as the best run differential in all of baseball. They also have the best winning percentage in the National League at 16-7, and are just behind the Yankees, who are at 18-7 with the best win percentage in all of baseball. So they are off to a fast, hot start, as we kind of expected them to be, and hopefully they can maintain it as we expected them to be. And we'll see. Similar to that Dodgers-Padres series that we saw last year, right, where those games were exciting. They were close. They were splitting them. The Dodgers won a few of the beginnings. Then the Padres took over. And the Padres, I believe, ended up winning the series against the Dodgers last year. And the Padres didn't even make the playoffs. So we'll see how that plays out with the Giants, who, with that loss to the Dodgers yesterday, fell to fourth place in the NL West. So, Arash, it looks like there's actually four teams in the NL West if you include the Colorado Rockies. Now, here's the funny thing, though, right? The Dodgers lost to the Diamondbacks, who, even though they're respectable at 13-13 at .500 baseball right now, nobody thought they'd be there. They're kind of thought as one of the lower minnows of baseball, to be honest with you. But the Dodgers now go up against the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cubs. Both of those teams are struggling. They're well below .500. So we'll see now. This is the important part. We'll see now if they can beat up on the teams that they are supposed to beat. So that is what we want to find out here as they go on the road here for the next seven.
Well, Michael, what kind of a toll did playing a really playoff ball almost for 162 games? I don't think enough was talked about that the Dodgers, because of pride, because they had won the division so many years. I mean, it's still amazing to me, right, that they won 106 games and did not win the division. But playing meaningful ball up until the last day of the season, what kind of a toll did that take? That, combined with the one-game playoff, combined with the five-game series against the Giants, I really think by the time they faced the Braves in the championship series, that team was toast.
Yeah, that had something to do with it, of course. You could argue two different things, right? That because they had to play meaningful baseball throughout the season, because they had to win, I think six games in a row to end the season to have a chance at beating the Giants or tying the Giants to win the West, that kept them hot, that kept them focused going into the playoff, that allowed them to beat the Cardinals in that one game wild card game, that allowed them to beat the Giants for the first time ever meeting between those two teams in the five-game NLDS they played. But also, as you mentioned, the wear and tear of all those games and those kind of games, was grueling on them. And so, unfortunately, Max Muncy gets injured the last game of the regular season on a fluke play that we see happen all the time. But, he ends up tearing his UCL and being out. And I really think Max Muncy would have made a difference in that Atlanta Braves series. Obviously, Max Scherzer pitching a lot of baseball down the stretch. You and I talked about it on this show. Dave Roberts let him in to go after a no-hitter into the ninth inning when he finally ended that run. So he got a little bit of arm fatigue. He wasn't able to pitch in that NLCS against the Braves. That hurt them. Obviously, Trevor Bauer's situation not being available hurt them. And that's what really happened. Kershaw not available. Those injuries finally caught up to them in the wear and tear. You could argue that, and you could also argue it was just fluke things, like with what happened to Muncy and Kershaw. So who knows? But I do think normally, and now we got to talk about the fact that there's a new playoff, right, in MLB this year. So it's a 12-team playoff this time around. So, if the Dodgers finish with 106 wins, and the Giants still win the division, their victory prize is not a one-game wild card. They'd have a three-game series with presumably the five seed in that case. So that could be a better matchup for them. It'll still be the division winners going 1, 2, and 3, but they would be the four seed in that situation if they had 106 wins. They'd have home field and stuff like that. So it might play a little bit differently had they had the same record in the same situation this year than they did last year.
What's your vibe with the team this year? I think it's great that reporters like you get to go into the clubhouse because you have such a connection with this team. And I thought, you know, for, 2 years where you were covering the team via Zoom, I mean, it was really hard to get a sense of what the feel was like with the clubhouse. Again, you know, a weird question having, you know, just found out that you have COVID, but you guys wear masks and things like that. What has it been like to cover the team this year? What's the vibe with the team this season?
I have to say, I am so glad we wear masks because...
No, yeah, right.
Knock on wood, I don't know how many players over the last 2 days of being in the clubhouse, you know, I might have saved from getting COVID or something perhaps because I'm in there maybe positive already with no symptoms and around these guys. And I'm wearing a mask. I'm not touching them. I'm not getting close enough so that they would have that. But it's good just to be back in the clubhouse, but I'm glad they enforced that mask rule because I am one of those people who could have been positive the last 2 days and didn't know that and was in the clubhouse and close to these players. Now, as far as the vibe in the clubhouse, it's good. You know, Freddie Freeman is a veteran that a lot of guys are listening to. They've put him directly next to Cody Bellinger, Trey Turner, some of these players that can kind of pick his brain. Kenley Jansen is no longer there anymore. They've put kind of all the relievers together. So guys like Alex Vesia, Phil Bickford, these guys can now pick the brain of a all-time veteran closer like Craig Kimbrell, who I think is, you know, among the current active players who is the lead leaders in saves in Major League Baseball. So they've done a good job as far as where they've put people's lockers this year so that they can kind of learn from the guys around them. And that's a big part of it. Now, as you know, and I'm sure you talked about on your show, we got some sort of, how do I phrase this? We got some sort of affirmation at least, or at least a idea of maybe what is going to happen with Trevor Bauer now,
yeah,
with his 2 year suspension. So even if he appeals, whether it's successfully or not, it seems like he will not be in that clubhouse at all this year, which was a question mark potentially, you know, 10 days ago. So I think that's a good thing because I think he is at this point a distraction and could potentially be a disruptor of that clubhouse, which right now seems to be pretty good. Now, I will say this, the day that the news of Trevor Bauer's 2 year suspension came down, I rushed over to Dodger Stadium early to get clubhouse access, and not a single player came out for that 1 hour window to be able to speak to the media. The only player that came out was Clayton Kershaw. And when we went up to him and started to kind of say, "Hey, how you doing?" He was like, "Hey guys." And we're like, "So did you hear about Bauer?" He was like, "Yeah, I'm not talking about that." And he rushed back out.
Exactly.
So I'm sure the players are not happy that we're allowed to be in there with or without masks because as Cody Bellinger told me, during those 2 years where we were not allowed in the clubhouse was the place to be before games. People were playing video games. They were playing cards. They were reading. They were talking. They were hanging out. And now they are back to the Chase Utley school of how to dodge the media during the open clubhouse section by finding things to do, whether that's watching video, in the weight room, eating, getting treatment, in the jacuzzi or hot tub. So they're finding ways to dodge and dart us going to and fro like a dragonfly in the summer, right?
You know, because we were talking about that, you, me, and Nick Hamilton, and I think at least we were of the same belief that we didn't think that we would be allowed back into the clubhouse and into the locker rooms, that they would use this as sort of a reason to say, hey, you guys have been able to do your job for 2+ years. The fact that the National Football League and Major League Baseball have opened up clubhouses and locker rooms with the National Football League, that will be for this upcoming season, I believe it. You can't have the NBA and certainly hockey not do that. So amazingly, you know, and this is a pleasant surprise, I think, for me and perhaps you, that it has come back, really.
Yeah, and you know, this is something you and I have discussed ad nauseum over the last couple of years. Nick and I were debating this from the day from, from COVID shutdown, March 9th, 2020, day one, that Nick said, we'll never get back in these locker rooms again. Nick taking the pessimistic side of things, where I was taking the more optimistic side of things, saying, no, no, no. At some point, they'll do what they did. And if you recall this, Arash, that game, the Lakers versus the Brooklyn Nets, before the NBA shut down, COVID cases were going up. Things had been changing. Rudy Gobert hadn't tested positive, but we knew it was kind of, you know, and as inevitable as a dog that barks at a cat across the window, that this would be something that happened. And so what they did was they socially distanced us in the press conference room down there at now the crypto.com arena, when we were doing the pregame talks with Coach Vogel at the time, and then now LeBron and AD after the game. They pushed us back and gave more space. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, Nick, at the very least, if we're not in the locker rooms again, then it's going to be like this. We're still going to be face to face, close to them, but I couldn't have predicted a potential be on Zoom all the time. But I will say, when this new CBA was negotiated between the MLB Players Union and the owners, I was really happy that they negotiated that we as the media and journalists would be back in the locker room. And as I just stressed in a guest lecture I did at UCI that I told you about, I told them the same thing, you know, that why I love doing what I do, why I'm so passionate about it 9 years into it, why I'm not burnt out from sports and I'm still addicted to sports just like I was as a kid, is simply because of the storytelling aspect of it. The fact that this is unscripted storytelling right here in sports, where you can never write or predict what's going to happen. And then I'm so fortunate and lucky enough, as are you, to tell the stories of these players, of these characters, of these teams, and of the fans and of the people around them. And the best way I'm able to do that is to kind of go seek them out, right? Go ask the players, go talk to them, get these questions. And I wasn't able to do it the way I normally could and as good as I could during COVID when we couldn't get in the locker room. So being able to go back in the locker room again changes the game for me. It inspires and encourages that passion I have to be a storyteller and tell stories again. And I'm just glad that now I'm able to do that and do it to the best of my ability.
Michael, thank you so much for being the Michael Jordan of having a Michael Jordan flu game for us today. I know you're not feeling it and feeling so well. You mentioned Trevor Bauer, you know, and obviously we all know this 2-game suspension is probably hitting him hard and hitting at least finally giving
like 2 years.
Stamp. Yeah, I said that, didn't I? Did I not say 2 years?
You said 2 days.
Oh, sorry. Anyways, yeah, 2 days. Sorry, 2 months. Oh my gosh, 2 years. 2 years. This 2-year suspension.
Knowing Trevor Bauer,
he'd still fight 2 days.
No, exactly, right? Well, this 2-year suspension that Bauer has finally put some finality for the Dodgers, and I'm sure he's going to fight it and tooth and nail. With that being said, he's obviously not going to put on a Dodger uniform. Do you think that if and when he does either fight this and it gets decreased, or if whatever the case may be, will he still be in Major League Baseball, being the ever so pessimist and or optimist? And will he, and if so, where will he go?
To answer your question, there's only 3 ways this is now going to go, which is what I was trying to explain to Rosh. We got some clarity, some information. We got a little bit of an idea now of where this is headed with Bauer. So I think it is not a coincidence that his suspension was 2 years. I think the Dodgers and Major League Baseball had something to do with this. I think the fact that Trevor Bauer was the only player, by the way, of 16 players, he's the 16th player to have been suspended under the domestic violence policy that was implemented, I believe, in 2015. He is the only player of the 16 previously to not negotiate with MLB on his suspension. That is because Trevor Bauer believed he did absolutely no wrongdoing. He denies all of these cases. He says he did not at all break any part of the domestic violence policy that is in place and the sexual assault policy. And so he wouldn't, as we just joked about, whether it's 2 days or 2 years, he wouldn't have taken any sort of suspension. Whereas if he had worked with them, he missed 99 regular season games up until the day the suspension was announced, and 111 if you include the playoffs. According to my sources, Major League Baseball would have taken the 99 games out of that 2 years had he been willing to negotiate with them, which would have dropped that down to like 200 and something, which would mean he would probably miss all of this year and would be back at some point towards the tail end of next year. He didn't want that at all. So now there's three things that are going to happen as he fights this and appeals this. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to try to get an expedited appeal on this. I've been told that he's heading out to Europe, so he's going to take a nice vacation here soon. But my guess is, as I said, three choices, three options. Option one is the appeal is upheld by an independent arbitrator in this case. There's going to be three judges in the room, one from Major League Baseball, one from the Players Association, and one independent arbitrator who will be deciding Trevor Bauer's fate. And it will either be upheld completely if they're able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that, yes, Trevor Bauer did violate the domestic violence and sexual assault policy that is in place by these two unions, and that there is a reason and there's warranted for such a long 2-year suspension. The other thing is that they completely throw it out and Trevor Bauer and his legal team are able to prove that no, he did not violate this domestic violence policy. If that's the case, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. It depends on when that decision is announced, but I think the Dodgers are hoping they can get it pushed to the end of this season. So that if it is just one more season left on Bauer's contract in 2023, I think they'd 100% feel comfortable cutting him at that point and never letting him pitch in a Dodgers uniform again. And then the third option, which I think is probably the most likely going to happen, which is that they are going to be able to say that he did violate this domestic violence policy, sexual assault policy by the Major League Baseball Players Association and the union and the owners. He did violate it. Even though he might have not been charged with a crime, even though the restraining order against the victim in San Diego was not extended, they're all going to be able to prove that the way the law is written, that he was able to violate it. But he's going to be able to prove that there is no precedent for a 2-year suspension when the range of suspensions for the 15 other previous people who violated it was between 15 games and 162 games. My guess is at that point, the independent arbitrator will do what we saw with Alex Rodriguez, which is where they find a number in between and they drop it down. Maybe it'll be a year suspension. And again, at that point, I then think the Dodgers have no problem cutting him at that point and letting him go. And so to answer your question, will a team then pick him up? I wouldn't be surprised if they are. I'm looking at you, the Houston Astros. I'm looking at you, the New York Yankees, who signed previous guys who broke this policy. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did and they took a flyer on him. But I honestly hope he doesn't pitch in baseball again.
Yeah. Michael, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining us. That's all. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we will be joined by Los Angeles Football Club head coach Steve Cherundolo right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California and the Fan in Las Vegas.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or want to win tickets to tonight's Kings game, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Okay, joining us now on our guest hotline, the head coach of your Los Angeles Football Club, Steve Cherundolo. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for coming back on. You guys are the best team in Major League Soccer right now, 7-1-1 following 9 games. Steve, what has been the key to your success so far?
Well, it's probably more of a question for the players. The players are the ones out there performing and doing what they do. I think what we've been able to do this season is to identify some things in training we want to work on to put our players in the positions to be able to win games and to perform well. And then mixing and matching, the personalities. And I think the biggest change of all has been in the off season of rebuilding the roster a little bit. We had a bunch of changes, and then to be able to get out of the gate so quickly after having that many changes in the off season isn't standard, but that would speak for the group and how good of a group they are. And so, that goes along as well, a long way as well to win games. You have to have camaraderie and leadership, and we have exactly that.
So you're first place in the Western Conference. Philadelphia, first place in the East. You guys play each other Saturday night in Los Angeles. I know it's the next game, and you don't want to put too much emphasis on one game, but what is the significance, again, of having a big-time game like this?
Well, it's always great to play good games, and we love competition and challenges, and this is exactly that. It's a team who is really hard to beat. Very hardworking, pragmatic in their offensive movements, but with very little, they can score a lot of goals. So it's a really good test for us, and we enjoy, like I said, a good challenge. But regarding the tables and you know where we'll be at the end of the season, I think it's too premature to be speaking about that. This is the 10th game of the season of a 34-game season, so we'll focus just on this one game and not on the bigger picture.
Steve, we talked about this when you took the job. The atmosphere that you guys have when you play at home, the bank, is unlike anything that we've seen in Los Angeles sports, whether you go to the Dodgers or the Lakers. I mean, the passion of the fans, and again, it's going to be at a fever pitch on Saturday night. Talk about that home field advantage. Now you've seen it in person. How much does it help your group, your side, when you play there?
Well, when we get up on teams and score goals, it's an incredible help. It really, really takes the wind out of the sails of opponents. And so it can be a huge advantage if we make it one. So it's for me, truly incredible to see and be a part of. Goosebumps every single week. If I had this growing up as a kid, then I've said it before, I don't think I would have ever gone to Europe.
Yeah.
This is everything you would ever want and need. And professional football club. It's truly an honor to be a part of it and an amazing being having a small role on this.
Your bench has been such a key factor to your success so far this season. What has been your philosophy in terms of substitutes? Because when they come in, Steve, they fit in so seamlessly and they've had such an impact on the game. So what's been the philosophy in terms of your substitutes?
Well, I think it's... to get to the bottom, and I think you have to look deeper and not just to the substitutes. I think, you know, the players who start the game do an excellent job of putting our group in a place where we can finish games off in the last 30 to 25 or 20 minutes. And that's where our subs come in. The second part of it is we have a deep roster. We have real quality on the bench. And the third factor, I believe, is the way we have approached the group. If we've said, listen, we don't know who the hero will be, but somebody will be. And we have a roster full of starters, and everybody will have their moment to do their job. And when it's your job to start, you know, you work as hard as you can, as fast as you can, because we have guys on the bench who will come in and finish the job. So it's really been a sharing of responsibilities, and that message was transparent and clear from day one. And the players, you know, have been fantastic at grasping that and embracing it, and we've seen the results.
Coach, again, thank you so much for joining us. This is Jihei, the producer, co-host, whatever you want to call me. The atmosphere, like Arash said earlier, I finally went to a game. I know the last time we talked, I had not gone to an LAFC game. I finally went to a game, and that atmosphere, that, I don't know if you want to call it a vibe, as the kids say, is something that you just can't duplicate. Having finally been to a home game, Angel City has not opened their season yet in the bank.
They did have their first game on Friday.
Yes, they did have their first game on Friday, but in North Carolina against the Courage. I'm sure you're focusing on, you know, what your squad can do in order to win the MLS Cup and to win games. But did you watch the game, and what were your thoughts on Angel City and what they're doing so far?
I did see the result and the game. I was not at the bank watching, but I plan on going this Sunday for their next home game. And it's amazing. It's a good team. It's a great organization already. We are ecstatic to have them be playing at the bank or to play in the same building. It's what the city needs, to have a women's team as well, and a very good one at that. So we're really proud of them for starting off so well. And I look forward to feeling the atmosphere this weekend on Sunday.
Steve, you talked about putting together this team this season. What is, if you can even say it, what is the key to building that culture? Again, this team is connected so quickly, you know, through the first nine games of the season. When you were putting together the team, what were you looking for?
We're looking for balance in the roster. we wanted to maintain the club's DNA, which is to attack and to score goals. But we fully understood the responsibilities in transition defensively and defensive organization. And we were looking to balance the roster out a little bit in those regards. And I think we did a good job.
Well, I can't wait for the game this upcoming weekend, and Jihei's going to try to be there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, of course. I mean, again, just what you guys are doing is just incredible, and just bringing W's to Los Angeles, it's even more the cherry on top of the sundae. I know every single coach focuses on game per game per game, but is there anything that you can tell us about the possible matchup that we might see in the playoffs with Philly in first place in the East and you guys in first place in the West? Are we looking at maybe a possible future MLS, you know, championship matchup?
I hate to disappoint you, but I will not look that far ahead.
Well, Steve, we are thrilled that you're back on the show. We're going to give you some good luck because we're on the air in San Diego, your hometown, Las Vegas, where you were last year. So best of luck, Steve, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks again to LAFC coach Steve Cherundolo. Listen, he didn't want to take any credit, Jihei, but he did win Major League Soccer's Coach of the Week. He's done an absolutely fantastic job. Again, first year on the job, was coaching in Las Vegas a year ago. They're in first place, and so that's going to be a big matchup. 8 p.m. start time Saturday, Philadelphia Union versus the Los Angeles Football Club. Which game? So you went to a game this season?
I went to a game last season. Yeah,
okay.
I went to a game last season. It was phenomenal. I highly encourage anybody, if you haven't gone to the bank yet, go. It is worth it. It is so, so phenomenal. They do a great job. They did an amazing job of just bringing everybody in, kind of being inclusionary too.
Yeah.
Right.
They do such an amazing job in terms of like pregame. They have these big tarps of like pictures that they've painted or drawn or something along those lines. It is that 3252 is a standing section. I always tell people, even if you don't want to stand there, go check it out, because again, there's no seats there.
Yeah.
Now, they can pull out seats if they're going to have a concert or some kind of a show, but during the matches, those seats are pushed up and blocked. You cannot physically sit in that section. You have to stand the entire time. I will tell you though, do not wear something nice, because when there is a goal scored, there's beer
all over.
beer everywhere. Now, so did you sit in that section when you went, or where did you go?
So unfortunately I was in the bougie part, because
you're in the suites,
kind of. So I don't know if you know the area. Yeah, I guess you would technically call it the suites. So
or the club area, or
yeah, I was more in the club area. So you know, when you walk in and you get your wristband and you go into the club area, there's, you know, an all you can eat area, like you can we were able to eat and basically drink beer and wine for free. It was all inclusionary in there. So I had a great time. It was a very last second ticket that I got from a friend. So I couldn't say no. I had to go.
You always get these great tickets from friends. You're either like right on the glass for a Kings game, center ice, or like in a club area for soccer with the, you know, free food and wine drinks. Yeah.
No, it was, I'm not going to lie to you. It's nice to have rich friends. It is really, really nice, because I can't afford those seats, guys. Like it was something that was just given to, it was like one of those passed down to a friend, and they just had an extra ticket and we're like, do you want to go? Like, we know that you're really into sports and you've never been to an LAFC game. And I was like, this is definitely a check mark off the bucket list. I know a lot of my other friends out there who have been Galaxy fans from jump are like, why don't you just go to those games?
That's what I don't get. Here's the thing. When they said, okay, Chivas USA is no more, and they did such a bad job with that team in terms of like, it wasn't Chivas, it was Chivas USA.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to rebrand this team. It's the Los Angeles Football Club. I'm like, all right. The Galaxy has been here since the inception of Major League Soccer, since 1996. They've won 5 Major League Cups, Jihei. No team has won more than them. They are the most successful franchise in this league's history. They've had Landon Donovan, they've had David Beckham, they've had Robbie Keane. They got the history, they got the championships. The LAFC, they found a way to put themselves on the same level. And there's some fans who would say, well, they're greater than. I mean, if they're not greater than, they are neck and neck. And I've never seen a team come into this market and do that, because generally speaking, you do have a tiered system. You have the Lakers, and then you get the Clippers. You get the Dodgers, and then you get the Angels, Kings, Ducks, even the Rams and Chargers. The LAFC has done such an amazing job of marketing themselves as Los Angeles's team. And, you know, and part of that is the fact that the bank is in downtown Los Angeles. It's right next to the Coliseum. It's in the heart of Los Angeles. And there's so many fans that really hang their hat on, well, you go to a Galaxy game, but that's all the way in Carson. So they've done an amazing job on that front.
So I didn't go to a pregame because, again, these were last minute seats, and sure, I haven't been back yet. And I really, 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 really want to go back. Like, I emphasize the really, yeah, like tenfold. What do they do for pregame?
Well, so they have this condor that, you know, flies out, does like a circle around the bank, and kind of comes back to the person who is holding the glove or whatnot. And sometimes they have a celebrity. Some of their celebrity why am I blanking on his name? Will Ferrell is one of the owners, right? And so he'll do it. But then that 3252 will unravel or untarp a big picture.
Okay.
And so, you know, after Kobe and Gianna passed away, like, there was this beautiful mural that they untarped of them. And so they just do an amazing job pregame. And there's like a tailgate pre-game, food, drinks, amazing. I mean, it's just a fun atmosphere. And I keep telling people, like, even if you're not a soccer fan, go out there and enjoy yourself. And just, we don't have anything like that in Los Angeles in terms of that rowdy, rabid fan base.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of? And it's not the exact same level, but it reminds me of Showtime. It reminds me of Showtime Lakers and the showmanship that they bring to, you know, they're entertaining you. They're really, truly entertaining.
I guess the one difference is with the Showtime Lakers, the product on the court was so fantastic, and yes, the fans were cheering. The interesting thing about the bank, and in particular the 3252, is it's a European, like, we don't have a section in Los Angeles where people stand the entire time. Now, you have a student section for college football with USC, for example.
Yeah, but they're not standing the entire time in the student section.
The students are, but we don't, in professional sports, when you go through, again, you can't compare college kids to professionals.
100%.
These are grown people, grown adults standing and cheering and doing chants and singing. It's We don't have anything like that. And for Steve Cherundolo to come in here and say, if we had this when I was a kid, when I was growing up in Southern California, I wouldn't have gone to Germany. I wouldn't have gone to Hanover. Now, maybe he still would have, because it's a fantastic atmosphere in the German Bundesliga. But I mean, the fact that he was like, I wish we had that. And it's an amazing atmosphere. And this Saturday night, tomorrow night, a matchup against Philadelphia, he didn't want to touch on it because, again, we're not even 10 games into the season. But it's the best team in the East, the best team in the West. It could be a preview of the championship.
No, I definitely think that it can be. I mean, especially if they keep playing the way that they are, and, you know, injuries aren't a factor. And also, this program has found a way, this franchise has found a way to keep those people loyal.
Yeah.
Like, once you are an LAFC fan, you are an LAFC fan. Yeah, like, yeah, you don't waver and you don't go back and are like, okay, well, I'll just root for the Galaxy because the Galaxy are in the, yeah, playoffs and my team isn't. They are die hard, man. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with all the sections that are just a standalone section, they will stand the entire game. That's a long game. That's, yeah, a long time to stand.
Yeah.
You know, for your team. And the music is constant. It never ends, but it's awesome. I love it. You know, and he's right. Like, this is the only equivalent of European soccer.
Yeah.
To us in LA.
We don't have anything like that here.
No, you know? No. It's awesome, though. Again, I highly encourage. And this is not a major plug for, you know, LAFC or for bank or anything. Just go to a
check
game.
It out.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. We are not getting paid to tell you to go to the bank and watch a game. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Had the greatest time there.
Well, listen, this weekend, Jihei, is Mother's Day, and we both love our moms. Tell me, do you have anything planned? I always love when you go out with your mom because you guys post a picture together. This weekend is Mother's Day on Sunday, right?
Yes.
What will you be doing with your mom?
I will be taking her to a place in Redondo because she refuses to tell me what she wants, where she wants to go and eat. But my mom is so low maintenance. She's so sweet. She'll eat anything. Like, nice. She's the least pretentious person on the planet, other than your mother.
Yes, thanks.
who's one of my favorite people on the planet, who and also who raised two wonderful, amazing sons that are just so great. But yeah, no, we will be going out to dinner because I have to work in the morning as normal. And then I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to try to go to church because that's what my gift to her normally is. Yeah. But she gets dinner. So, and she doesn't really want flowers or anything like that, a card or anything. So, but I probably will give it to her anyways because it's my mom. Right? But yeah, no, my mom actually doesn't have social media. So she doesn't know that she's posted all over Instagram and Facebook. I think she has a Facebook page, but I doubt she looks at it. So I don't know if she even sees those pictures that are up there. She sends me pictures via text.
Okay.
So she, like, those are the ones that she sends me and she knows that exist. She doesn't even know that, you know, I was like, oh, I'm posting on Instagram, Mom. She's like, okay. I mean, you have to realize my mom is 73, like 73, 74 years old. So social media is like, she is not. I actually did a whole entire thing on TikTok with her, or like where you would disturb your faces or whatever. Yeah. Like you would swap out and, or you'd be a dog and she
didn't.
Yeah. She was just like, what is this? Like, I have no, what are we doing right now? So yeah, no, I will be definitely spending Mother's Day with my mom. I love her. We all obviously wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our mom. Yeah. So
love
mom. Can't wait. What about you? Any major plans?
Going out to see my mom for brunch on Saturday. And the reason doing it on Saturday is my brother is leaving for his honeymoon on Sunday. And he got married last week on Sunday. And so they, you know, stayed home for a week and then off to their honeymoon. So going to see mom for brunch tomorrow. And probably going to go to the bank. I definitely want to go see this game, you know, Jihei. And so we'll see if I get to do that. But yeah, you know, the cool thing is my cousin sent me a picture of me when I was a child with my mom. And yeah, just kind of a cool thing to see. But it was great to see her at the wedding. And my brother is 11 years younger. But just to see her kind of, you know, see her child get married, that was a really cool thing. So again, wanted my brother to be a part of that. So we're going to do brunch Saturday instead of Sunday. I'll certainly call my mom on Sunday, but just a fun time of year where you can kind of thank mom for everything that they've done. She tunes in. She always asks about you.
She's the best. Best. I remember when I first met your mom. That's too. Right. She was just so nice. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think I was a few wines deep. So God bless your mom for being so patient with me when I first met her. I think I tried to eat and
no,
you know,
it's good.
But she was just so kind, just so generous, just so sweet, so loving, and she embraces all of your friends too. Like no candor or whatever. Like, she's just so great.
She's
so sweet.
And I think, you know, it was so much fun at the wedding seeing her connect with all my brother's friends. And again, she's just a very happy person. And I think both of our moms have like amazing smiles and these great personalities and that they're just happy. And I think that's where we get we're just happy.
As my mom would say, everything's a beautiful. So yeah, your mom is definitely a beautiful soul. I feel like our parents haven't met each other yet.
So we gotta definitely do that at some point. Bring the moms together. They would love each other.
Yeah.
Like they both have great smiles, great laughs. They both love life. So yeah, we're gonna have a good time with our moms this weekend. All right, it's been another amazing week. We have some surprises in store for you. Don't want to ruin it, but we have some big guests coming up next week. So with all that said, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.